Hey, RC family, welcome back to our podcast, The Leader's Lens. It's our opportunity to have a chat on a variety of topics that impact and influence how we do what we do professionally and personally, where we get to engage in conversation with an array of RC family members, subject matter experts, and some folks who can share a little perspective in our day. So we are in our ninth episode, and I'm your host, Kurt Reinhart, Vice President of Learning and Development, and I could not be more tickled pink about today. I am honored and privileged to share some time with a world champion. Robin Benincasa is a world champion adventure racer. She's a San Diego City firefighter, and even a CNN hero. So she definitely knows a thing or two about winning works, how winning works, and how we build world-class teams that succeed against the toughest of odds. Known also for her book, How Winning Works, 8 Essential Leadership Lessons from the Toughest Teams on Earth. And today, we get to hear her perspective and insight on performing at a high level, both as an individual and part of a team. Welcome, Robin. How is it going today?
Oh, God, I'm so thrilled to be here. This is fun. You're good at this. Look at you and your radio announcer voice. That's awesome.
I wish I could claim that I've always had this voice. I went through cancer, and unfortunately, it affected my sound. So, if you I have a really nice voice, then I'm just going to say thank you for that.
Wow! So you can be one of our Zeuses.
Hey,
on one of our Project Athena adventures, because we take survivors on adventurous dreams as part of their recovery. So
nice. Yeah. Well, I'm 10 years in, so I've been cancer free since 2000, and well, officially you can't do that right until 5 years. So I'm 10 years in.
God bless.
Diagnosed 2013. Thank you. Yes, God, I am blessed for sure. Now, Robin, here's the thing. People can Google you. I've read some of the things that make you you. What else would you like to offer? What are some things that didn't get mentioned, or maybe they're not going to read, that makes Robin Robin?
Oh, gosh. Well, I think you did mention in that intro, and this is probably my favorite part of my life, I guess, so far. And that is that about, in 2008, I started a nonprofit called Project Athena, where we take survivors on adventurous dreams as part of their recovery. And so we take survivors and we take volunteers on 4 big annual ultra endurance adventures that we train you for from start to finish. So actually, anybody wants to do something really big, hairy, crazy, audacious, you don't have to be a survivor. You can be a volunteer and come with us. But I lead these adventures. I kind of take my background and experience from ultra endurance racing, and I lead these adventures for survivors to help them create their huge comeback story. So kind of turning their life setbacks into a crazy comeback story through adventure and endurance sports. And it's the coolest thing on earth to kind of blend, you know, something that you have as your background and experience, you know, together with something that really helps other people and helps them see themselves in a new way and helps them take on the next biggest challenges in their lives. And, you know, so people show up to our adventures as, you know, kind of their family's sick person, you know, or the person that their family's been worrying about for however many years. And they go home as their family's badass endurance athlete.
Badass endurance athlete. I mean,
that's a really cool term for a lot of people.
Well, I appreciate that. And I will tell you that having that, I know this is going to sound very counterintuitive, so go with me on this. Cancer was certainly a wake-up call, and it ultimately ended up being the greatest thing that happened for me, to me, and through me, because it really, it allowed me to see my purpose with a greater degree of clarity and intensity and intentionality. So I can only imagine when you do these journeys with these survivors and or people who know survivors or whoever it may be, dude, they've got to get a total jazz out of this, just going through that process with you. So,
lives are totally changed, like just completely changed from them showing up the front, and they're so afraid, like everybody's afraid, like, can I do this? Can I cross the Grand Canyon in one day? You know, can I ride my bike all the way from Key Largo to Key West, 120 miles, you know, like cycling kayak. It's another one of our adventures, you know, so they're big, hairy, ridiculous, audacious adventures. And we make them real, you know, with our training program and with my team of trail angels. And it's the biggest kick in the world to just watch the confidence rise in everyone's hearts and minds. And as they go through the days and they start realizing like, wow, I can do this. You know, I can do this. And you actually see the wheels spinning, and they leave so confident. They leave as a completely new person. And I had teammates do that for me in adventure racing. And so I really wanted to give that gift back to other people to show them how amazing they are. And so, yeah, every year we do these four ultra endurance adventures, like the rim to rim to rim, the Grand Canyon, kayaking, riding bikes from Key Largo to Key West. We do a 26-mile hike up the coast of San Diego. We do a traverse all across Zion National Park for 2 days, 45 miles. And it all happened because I had, it was a minor setback. I'm super blessed that I had a setback that could be fixed, but I've had lots of hip replacements now. And so as soon as I started having hip replacements, I thought, okay, I'm going to turn my setback into a comeback somehow. So I started ultra endurance paddling, and to see what I could do there, to focus on what I could do instead of what I couldn't do. And then I thought, let's do this for other people. And so we not only take Athenas, who are our female survivors, we also take Zeus's, which is people like you who are our male survivors. We started taking Zeus's a couple of years ago. And so we just travel as one big team. And that's the other neat thing, is we sort of take the component that I talk about in my presentations about how we create that amazing human synergy. We take all of that energy of that being better together than an individual could ever be alone, carrying each other or towing each other, taking each other's weight, singing, crying, holding hands, like, and we all cross the finish line from start to finish. Like the minute we start to the minute we finish, we are one big 30 or 40 person team. And if you're one of the stronger people, you go to the back and help. If you're one of the people that needs help, your job is to leave your ego at the start line and ask for help. And so kind of people get to live what they see in my keynote when they come to one of these Project Athena adventures. And it's really also amazing leadership training because
I
people
can
go
imagine.
home, yeah, like they're like realizing I don't always have to be the strong one. I don't always have to be the leader. And really my job as a leader is if I'm feeling great and this is my area of strength, my job isn't just to go faster, get to the front of the pack first. My job is to go help somebody else. And kind of creating that culture, in our business lives too is another cool thing that comes out of it. So yeah, it's kind of neat to have something that took every little aspect of my life, up to that point and just put it into a magical little package. And it's, yeah, still going on. We love it.
Well, that's awesome. Reminds me of that African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And
100%.
I think that's it seems like that's the heart of your thing. And speaking of heart and speaking of really who you are and what you get to do each and every day, what started Robin off, right? What was the one thing that you think of right now, if you go all the way back? What was your chapter one? What is your genesis, if you will?
Well, it would probably have to go back to a flyer that I found on my friend's front lawn when I was, I think, seven, maybe eight. And it was for a gymnastics school that was being held in my town. And I begged my mom to go because no one in my family was really athletic at all. My parents, I think my dad played baseball, but nobody else in my family had ever done anything, athletic. And so I didn't know if I could do this, but I brought this to my mom and I said, I want to go try to be a gymnast. And that moment, that flyer on my front lawn, like literally changed my life. And I end up getting really attached to one of my coaches, as we all were, a man named Stormy Eaton, and he ran Desert Devils Gymnastics in Tempe, Arizona. And he was the guy who was sort of our second dad slash crazy uncle slash like the guy that just 100% believed in all of us, and taught us how to suffer, taught us how to work hard, taught us how to do, before long I was training, 4 hours a day, 6 days a week, trying to be the best gymnast I could be on top of homework and on top of trying to be a straight A student. And so what he taught us was that we're capable of so much more than we ever imagined. And he was doing Ironman at the time. So he was a coach. He would train for Ironman during the day and then coach us from like 4 to 9 at night. And so I was also inspired by him doing his endurance adventures. And he would invite us to go ride bikes sometimes, or invite us to go. He was the first person who introduced me to the Grand Canyon. We did a hike down to Havasupai, and like I was 13, and on the way back up, I was still feeling, really pretty good on the hike back out, and I ended up, taking some of the adults' backpacks, on top of my backpack, because I was feeling really strong, and I was like, "Hey, I can carry that for you. Like, I feel really good." And so, though, that was also my first introduction to my own like strength personally, and how great it felt to help other people, and how wonderful it was to literally take somebody's weight off of them, and to be able to carry it. And so, Stormy, like, he was just an inspiration for all of us gymnasts on so many different fronts. And so when I graduated, well, when I stopped doing gymnastics, I actually coached for Stormy, coached for that gymnastics team for a long time, and then went off and started doing Ironman with Stormy always in the back of my mind, that I know he'd be proud of me.
Oh man, that is so cool. And I think about, I think I have a couple of crazy uncles, and I would refer to them as the cool uncle,
Yeah,
right? The one you
exactly.
really connect with, and like ended up giving you some life lessons beyond the moment of that moment, because you didn't know that until you
Yeah.
knew it. And it was like, oh, I remember that, and that person gave me that gift. Okay, so
Yeah.
you were carrying people's backpacks, which means you decided at that point, not only were you seeing your own strength or seeing how strong you were capable of being in that moment, you're also part of a team. So what are some things? I mean, we've got some people that are listening right now. They're probably blown away from your background and just really leaning into your story and your stories about where you come from. And now you've entered into a conversation about carrying someone else's load, or taking care of that person beside you, or taking instruction from someone who's giving you wisdom. What does it mean to be part of a team? Like, what are some characteristics that you would say, hey, this is important. If you're going to be part of a team, here's some things that I would say are really important to be part of that team. What would they be?
Okay, this is an easy one for me. because I was actually asked this question, or my entire team was asked this question, after we won the world championships in adventure racing. So, I mean, after many, many years of Ironman, I was introduced to this sport called adventure racing, where you're not just going for whatever 12 or 14 or 15 hours doing multi-sport. You're going for not usually 7 to 9 days, and that's for the win. And you have to do it with a team, and everybody on the team has to stay together, or your team is disqualified, and you're traveling 600 to 1,000 miles. So I had been a solo athlete my whole life, from gymnastics to diving, track, cross country, competed in judo, competed in Ironman for a long time. But then I discovered adventure racing, and at first it was sort of a solo journey in my mind. Like, I wanted to be the best I could be, so that I didn't let the team down. And I thought that everyone was just going to come as a group of well-trained individuals, and we were just going to see what we could accomplish together. But and my first couple of races, it was sort of like that. But then I connected with a truly world-class team. I actually wrote them a letter. How I got on the team was, I wrote them a letter and I asked them if I could join them. I was like, "I think I'm capable of competing at this level. We were near you in the first Eco Challenge." So I knew these guys because we had sort of raced alongside them in the first Eco Challenge. And I said, I hope you remember me, but I'm hoping and dreaming of being good enough to be part of one of the best teams in the world. And I would love for you guys to give me a tryout, if you're in a position to fill that spot on your team." And so they did. And so I found myself at the World Championships, at the start line in Ecuador, with a team of the world's best, the world's best adventure racers, generally from like Australia and New Zealand. And one of the reasons they were so amazing is because there were no egos, and they weren't afraid to give up their weight, and they weren't afraid to admit they were sucking. And in fact, one of my first memories of racing with them was a guy from the back, the guy that was behind us in the pack, said, "Hey, mates, you don't need to slow down, but I'm sucking." So he just like needed someone to take his pack, and he just said it out loud. He didn't wait for one of us to say, "Hey, we need to grab your pack." It was that idea that this was a collective strength. Like none of us are as fast as all of us in this case, where we're constantly moving weight around. Constantly, we invented tow lines. We were the first team to invent the concept of tow lines, where we literally towed each other on the end of bungee cords. We would just connect a person who was challenged to a person who was really strong, literally connect them with a piece of bungee cord and two carabiners. And instead of waiting for our slowest person, we would just take them with us. And so
right.
even though we were all just sort of maybe just above mediocre athletes or just slightly above average athletes together, these particular teams that I ended up being on when we won that first world championships, it was that mindset that was different. And that idea that we're not just here with each other, but we're here for each other. And that changes the whole dynamic of a team. So it's not just four individuals being at their best. It's taken right. up a notch by four individuals who are not having individual accountability. They're having team accountability. Like, I'm responsible nice. And accountable for getting this entire team across the finish line. And that's my highest sense of purpose. And so, circling back to answer your question. So when we won the world championships, we were contacted by Fast Company magazine, and they were doing an article called Extreme Teamwork. And the idea for the article was that they wanted to take a look at and analyze the world's most consistently high performing in what their opinion were called extreme teams to see what they could learn from us and apply to other fast moving companies. And so they interviewed all of our team members and a team from NASA and Industrial Light Magic and all these people that are operating in these really intense high stakes, high level of challenge situations, and they are consistently high performing, like regardless of the craziness of, their day to day. And right. so that article was a big hit, and they asked our team to have someone come speak at a reader conference about what it was that made our team so consistently high performing in the craziest of times. And I drew the short straw. And so I actually created a presentation called The Essential Elements of Human Synergy. And so those key factors to being part of a world-class team, and the way that it's really simple to remember, is it's actually an acronym for teamwork. And so the T right. is total commitment, total commitment to each other, first and foremost, and not to the start line, to the finish line, and in your case, your customers, your goals, their dreams, and then how do we demonstrate that and inspire that? Planning, purpose, perseverance, preparation, all these four P's that kind of for us went into creating that total commitment to each other in the finish line. Then the E is empathy and awareness. You got to add that okay. human connection. Connecting to the person before the point, remembering that we work for people and not for companies. So you always have to be that right. person that everyone wants to work with and work for. Adversity management. So it's the A. How do we handle those crazy times and to continue to inspire each other through those challenges and changes? Always focusing on a comeback and not a setback, and being ruled by the hope of success versus the fear of failure. All those sort of positive mindset things that help your team roll and dig out of that mental hole when things don't go right. Mutual respect, obvious, yep. is the M. We thinking okay. is the W. Instead of teamwork, kind of that teamwork or synergy, I call it we thinking, because we always said we have to we think versus me think. And that was that
I love that
idea that, that the reason that people get to the top of really difficult mountains is because they've set a goal they couldn't accomplish alone, and they roped up to other people, figuratively rope. Well, in that case, literally, when you're mountaineering, you literally rope up to other people.
Right.
And it's, and it's so yeah. that the team can get further on the mountain than an individual could get alone. So it's not even just for safety. That's a primary part of it. But another great reason to be connected to other humans is so that you have instant access to other people who have background and skills and strength and experience that you don't have, so that the team right. can get to the peak when an individual never could. So that idea of we thinking is the W. Ownership of the project. How do you get that 100% buy-in from everybody on your team, and how we yep. create that as leaders? Relinquishment of ego is the R, leaving your ego at the start line. And also a kinetic style of leadership, which basically it comes from a couple of different perspectives, changing leaders as well as changing leadership styles. So the best leaders understand that there's that difference between management and leadership. And in your role right. as yeah. a leader, that role is going to constantly change. Like, you should let people lead based on their strengths, not their titles or their tenure. But in your role as a manager, you're always going to have that role. You're always going to facilitate everyone else's success. That's your role, but you don't always have to be the leader. And I think, I know on our team, we were constantly, there was a team captain, but they weren't the person in charge. You know, the team captain was actually the person that got everybody to the start line. They facilitated everybody's success. You know, they ensured we had our sponsorship and our flights and our blah, blah, blah. But they weren't always in charge of all, having all the answers out on the course. And the teams that were the most successful realize and capitalize on the strengths of every single person on their team. And when we got to their area of strength, that person wouldn't maybe, you know, literally take the lead, but we'd be relying on them more, you know, for the answers, for their strength, for their capability in that moment. Like I was a crappy runner. So on the running sections, I was just hanging on for dear life. But then when we got to paddling sections, I would became like, you know, one of the team leaders. I was stronger there. I was really good in the heat, you know. So when we got to really hot sections and my Kiwi boys were melting, you know, I would take more weight or I would be able to tow somebody. So we weren't wrapped around the axle of the title of leader or the title of captain. And you know, constantly let that change based on our talents, or he, who even was the most awake, or who is hallucinating the least, or like, you know, that's the leader. But you know, you see, I see it time and time again, and especially, you know, and this is just our sport, but you know, I think I see it a little bit in business too, is that it was always those, and I'm not trying to bag on the military. I'm just thinking about their style of leadership. Any corporation or organization that has this top down only style of leadership and everything goes through this chain of command, you know, and that chain of command in terms of leadership is never broken. I think they're less successful, you know, than they could be. They're constantly waiting on one person to have all the answers. And if someone kind of grabs that leadership role and they believe they're supposed to be the person that makes all the decisions, has all the answers, they're not going to get as far or as fast as if they had relied on their team a little bit more.
That's, I mean, I believe the term that you're referring to there was it goes to top down, that hierarchical style of leadership versus horizontal, which is your capacity to understand the people on your right side and left side. That's a big component of our RC family, is that whole side by side, right? I'm never above you, never below you, always beside you. And it's that you side by side mentality for us is how we lead well, or at least that's our aspiration for leading well.
Oh, it sounds perfect. Yay.
Well, perfect is relative. We try and make progress. We don't aim for perfection. We aim for progress. And then speaking of which, I think the question that I had in place is I want to ask you about leadership, and then I was going to ask you about eco challenge and how do I do this over again. I think you actually changed the script, and I'm thankful because the way it turned out was actually two questions in one. You got a twofer, Robin. That was well
Yay.
done. Yeah, right. We
Efficiency.
got that done. So I always like to play a little bit of game. Now that you've brought up some of the things or the characteristics and characteristics and essentials for leadership, I'm going to throw some words at you. Okay. So to get ready here, I'm going to throw a
Oh
word, and
boy.
the idea is that word association where I give you the word, and then you can come up with a word or phrase or something that you would say, that's how you respond to that, or that's how you might define that, or that's how you experience that. Whatever it is, I leave it open-ended for how you want to approach. The idea,
Okay.
though, is just it's just a quick game. Okay. So
Okay.
the
All right.
first
So,
word, here's the first word.
okay. All right. I might have to think for a second.
That's all right. If you
Okay.
need
All
to
right.
take a minute, go for it. So here's the first word, purpose.
Well, I mean, the first thing that came to mind was strength, because when you have that higher sense of purpose, you are so much stronger than people that don't have a higher sense of purpose. Like you have to have a why. You have to have a why. And your why is why you get up every day, and it makes you stronger. Like when you have a why, that's like it's about your teammates. It's about your wife, your husband, your family, your God, your religion, your helping your company succeed, you know, something that's bigger than you. You know, that makes you, that's your purpose, that's your why. And you know, me having Project Athena and having my dreams for the future of you know, I want to have an animal sanctuary and I want to create exceptional experiences for people, you know, on hikes and take them on adventurous dreams, and it makes you do things that you wouldn't normally do. When you have that purpose, you have that strength.
Yeah, and I think one of the iterations of the I remember of why is you know your why, you can endure almost anyhow. So that's
True.
right, because why is the thing that stimulates all of your doing this? So I appreciate that. Here's your second word. Standard or standards, right? It could be singular or plural. So standard, the idea of having a standard.
I think a standard or standards are important. I think it's important to hold your own feet to the fire. You know, personally, and I think when I think of standards, I think as personal standards, because everyone's got, you know, everyone's got their own standard. But I think the people that have the highest standard or the highest bar that they're trying to get over, that they're trying to achieve, I think you have to have them. I think if you don't have a big goal, you don't have a big dream, like personally, a lot of people walk around the planet like that. I'm lost. I'm lost if I don't have like a goal, in this case, a standard, you know, something that I'm trying to reach. And it's always got to be upstream. If you're floating, you're not getting anywhere closer to a great goal. Great goals are always upstream. You got to swim hard. You know, you got to swim hard to them. So if that's your, you know, and I think a standard is something that needs to be continually set. And I also think they make us happy. Honestly, like if you don't put those mountains in your own path, you know, you're never going to get the sense of accomplishment of climbing the mountains, you know, figuratively. Like you take something away from yourself when you don't give yourself hard challenges. And rise and rise and rise again. So yeah, to me, I guess standards are challenges, and I think we all need them.
Okay, well then I'm going to enjoy this. Your third word is discipline.
Mm. Yeah, similar thing. I think discipline often leads to greatness. I think maybe too much discipline can lead to something not so great either. You know what I mean? I mean, like, you know, to be a disciplined person, it means you wake up early ish, you know, unless you've done something really hard, you're allowing yourself to sleep in for, you do your hard stuff first. Just that's part of, you know, do your hard stuff first. And then let your day get easier and easier as you go, like right out the gates. You know, that's discipline. You do your workout, you do your hardest thing, you have your hardest meeting, you have the thing you're most afraid of that day. You put that, you know, that's the discipline. You do your biggest, hardest workout in the morning. And, you know, so I think it's important, but I've also found that that too much discipline in some cases, if it's not leading you to a positive place, is something that's not so good either. Like, you know, back in the day, personal story, maybe TMI. I was, you know, anorexic, because I was trying in gymnastics, we had to be under 90 pounds, you know? And so if I wasn't under 90 pounds, I just, you know, didn't eat for a day or went and ran 10 miles or, you know, whatever it was, you know, whatever it took to get there. I was really disciplined. Right. But it wasn't the good kind of discipline. So, yeah. So, you know, so I agree. It's a great thing to have in your toolbox, but it's a tool.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you mentioning that. Thank you for being vulnerable. I think someone who also, I'm only speaking for myself right now with regards to being vulnerable in battling addiction for me. And then having that discipline, because without that discipline, you know, I wouldn't have the sobriety that I have now. So I'm thankful for discipline. I see it the same way. I see it as boundaries that create success. And I'd also agree that too much of it, or it being given with the heart of, I want to break you down on purpose. So where discipline becomes negativity. I certainly see, I've seen that before. And that's not how I define discipline. I define the discipline very, very different because of that. So I appreciate you sharing your thoughts on that, because it can be hard to talk about, because discipline, most people might go negative place. I'm glad you go to a positive place.
I think it's a great place. But I also think, there's a world of moderation sometimes too. Like maybe some people that like might love to have a glass of wine, they're like, oh no, I said I was never gonna, have a drop of this, or I'm never gonna eat this ice cream, or like sometimes discipline can go too far. And then you just like miss out on stuff that you love in your life. But yes, when it's used as a tool for good, it's amazing. It's a great thing to
Awesome.
have.
Well, okay, let me. So here's your next word, failure.
Learning. Yes, that's an instant one in my brain. Failure is learning. I really do believe like sometimes you win, sometimes you learn. Because especially if you're a thinking person, you want to get better at whatever you're doing in your life, you almost have to embrace those failures in a way. Like they suck. They suck just as bad, like to lose a competition, or to, in my case, to lose a fight or lose a match or to lose a race, or to have a crappy moment on stage, or I forgot where I was going. But if you are the right kind of person who's going to use that as a positive, yeah, there's so much to learn from those things. Like that's where I think you find the most insight, is those moments where you thought you had the ball and you so didn't. And you're like, okay, you got to analyze those things. And so it sucks, but I think it provides you with a better way forward. Like, we always had after action reports. Like when things didn't go great in the fire department, we lost a patient, we lost a house, whatever it was. Like it was scary to get together and talk about it, but you have to, because that's how you get better. That's how you don't make that mistake the next time, if there was such a thing. Or you bring in different resources, or so yeah, I think it's a failure is a great, great, great key to learning if you embrace it right. And also like embracing failure as fuel. Just it's such a massive fuel source, because you never want to feel that way again. Like
Oh,
when you
amen.
lose, you never want to feel that way again, and you will do whatever it takes to not have that feeling in the pit of your stomach again.
Yeah, for sure. Next word. This is a word that we are always trying to cultivate at RC, and I would love to get your insight on this one. That's coaching.
Coaching is, I think, one of the strongest leadership styles, actually. Because I think some, and not in RC for sure, because you guys have this great way of training, and you guys have an amazing culture. But like I'm thinking back to the fire department. We had some amazing captains, and we had some crap captains. Because we never did any like leadership training or anything. It was like if you were just there long enough and you took the test, you moved into this leadership role. But there was never any understanding of how to lead. And so a lot of captains just thought it was really cool to just tell you the stuff that you were doing wrong. Like they thought that they were doing their job when they were just telling you what you were doing wrong. And I think a lot of leaders think that. And I think, there's a fine line between coaching and criticism. And I think, in my mind, I've always thought of criticism as pointing a finger and coaching as extending a hand. I mean,
Oh, nice.
it's a slight difference between this and this. It's like you did this, you need to go back to training. You did this, you did wrong, you didn't help your teammate. Whereas could be the same instance, but the intention as it's delivered is, okay, let's take a look at this thing. Let's see what happened, and let's you and I figure out some ways that we can keep this from happening in the future. Let me know what you need. Maybe this isn't something that you guys went over in the academy. So maybe we need to go back through and look at the chainsaw again, and how, and how we start it. And so it's very subtle sometimes, but if you feel like someone's extending a hand, it's so much more well received. Like this person's on my side. This person wants me to succeed, versus, this person is just pointing out where I stumbled.
Last two words. One, I think, is Well, beget the other to a certain degree, at least in my own mind. So I'll let you make your own assertions with that. So the first word, or the second to the last word, is resilience.
Vital, vital. I mean, I think it's a vital human, and I was going to say trait, but I think it's a skill. Something that can act, that's not just that you're born with. I think you can cultivate it. And I think you cultivate your resilience by doing really, really hard stuff over and over and over and over and over again. And so I think, people that avoid really challenging things in their life, they're avoiding their resilience training. And I think the older you get and the harder things get and the weirder the world gets, and in most cases you don't have fewer problems as you get older. They kind of pile up, in a lot of cases. And so, you have to rely on the resilience and the courage that you've built. And you only can build that courage and that resilience by, I know I've always thought that since I was, little, that every time I did something to really challenge myself, I earned a brick for a wall that I was building that, called my confidence wall. And so, it should be your mission over your life to build that confidence wall as high as you can, brick by brick, because the height of that confidence wall that you've created by doing really hard things, a lot of them all the time, that has a direct relationship on the amount of courage and resilience that you have moving forward through the world. So I think it's incumbent upon all of us to keep building that confidence wall, that resilience wall. But I think some of it's innate. Some of it is, but there's, it's just like your ability to walk is innate, but your ability to be Usain Bolt is something that, that you can train. And so I think that's, yeah, it's on us.
Well, it's interesting you should say that. That tracks along something that's I've heard recently, very, very recently. Someone said, was talking about parenting, and said that one of the worst things we can do to our kids is be that helicopter parent that takes care of all their issues, because their contention was we are robbing them of the capacity and understanding of what it means to be resilient. We're taking that skill away from them, and they will get in adulthood and not have, as you say, cultivated that in a meaningful way. So we're robbing them of that experience. So I appreciate that. So here's the last word. And for many, they may think it's the only word. And I don't want to temper or bias your answer. How do you define success?
I mean, that's it's different, obviously different for everyone. But I think success is not as much about like crossing a finish line first, or getting to a particular, monetary goal that you have. Or I think in the long run, in the long term, our success is about who we are and what we consistently do. Not necessarily about crossing a finish line first. I think, it doesn't make you unsuccessful if you're this amazing person who's done everything right, trained your butt off, loved everyone around you, brought great things to the world, but yet you never, made $1 million. Like the success is inside the person. And I think successful people are those that are happy. They're content with who they are and where they are in the world. And to some people, their success is watching, helping grow great kids. To some people, success is starting a company. To some people, success is like in your case, maybe going through your cancer, success is I got out of bed and I went to the mailbox. So, it's defined so differently for every single person, but it's about, that, it's about what you do. I just keep coming back to success is based on what you do. And if you do good and and you love big and you connect to people and you find what makes find your passion, all those things that make a human light up on the inside, and you cultivate that in yourself every day, then you're a success, I say.
Well, I mean, I've only got a couple more questions before we close out our chat together, which has been absolutely awesome. So thank you for all that you've shared. What's the one thing that brings you absolute joy right now? Like, what's something that jazzes Robin? Like, when you woke up today, this is like maybe top of mind or one of the first things that got you excited about the day. Besides obviously doing this podcast. I know that's notwithstanding.
I'm just a super lucky person in that I love everything that's freaking going on in my life right now.
Sweet.
So yeah, I get to go leave tomorrow morning and be on stage in Austin and Orlando. And I just love, love. I mean, I've been doing it for years, but every single time I am so joyful. Like, okay, I'm scared as hell right before I go out, right? But the minute I get
Sure.
out there, like I'm so full of joy about sharing, just about inspiring people. And maybe
Yeah.
that's what it really comes down to is I love bringing inspiration to people's lives, whether it's through Project Athena, through keynote speaking, I have a current project right now. I'm trying to bring basically an abandoned golf course back to life. So
Nice.
I'm bringing that joy back to the community so that they have an outdoor space and a place to go play, and I want to be able to provide them with like cool places to have like special dinners and experiences and weddings, and so I'm fired up about that because that's a dream I've had for a long time, is to create exceptional experiences for people. And then I want to also like someday to have an animal sanctuary and rescue all kinds of cool animals. So, yeah, I kind of go down all those roads every single day, and move that ball forward, because I always feel like all those goalposts are out there, and my job is to move, even if I just move the ball 1 inch. I have to move the ball forward to each of those goals every day, or I haven't been a success that day. So I have to do stuff. I have to do stuff that gets me to those goals. But I'm getting there. I'm getting there every day, and it's kind of fun. Like, I think the journey's fun.
Well, amen to that. Now I have to, on a side note, that golf course you're referring to wouldn't happen to be in Green Valley, Arizona. That's where my parents live, and they live right off of a golf course that's in sort of like that limbo. And they're always saying, "I wish this golf course could come back to life." So it's not in Green Valley,
No, but
Arizona, is it?
it's in Dewey, Arizona.
Okay.
Yeah. It's in
Okay.
Arizona. Yeah, it's in northern Arizona. But
Okay. Well, at least I
no,
got that part right.
it's a bigger project than I ever imagined. But it's like you can't take any of your money with you, so you might as well leave something cool to the world. I don't know, that's the way I see it.
That's awesome. Well, Robin, lastly, as we conclude our chat today, we've got people that are listening from all levels and tenure and experiences and what they're going through in their own personal lives and in leadership lives. There's just a bunch of people that are listening to you today. What bit of advice would you give them as they step into just having that kind of joyful, high performance mindset that you've just shared with us? If they want to have that kind of day today, what advice would you give them?
I think it's important to have a dream, have a goal, and one that you really can't accomplish alone. I think that's one of the keys is to put things on your calendar, things on your life calendar, on your own personal success calendar that are almost things you can never accomplish alone, and then set out to build your team to get there. Because there's so much joy in doing something big, but with other people, that adds a whole nother level of not only happiness to it, but success to it. know what your own strengths are and say, okay, this is my talent, but I need someone who's good at this, 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 and this in order to succeed, you know, in order to have a goal that I couldn't accomplish myself. So my wish for people is always like, you know, here's to having such huge goals you can never accomplish them alone, and to being the kind of leader that, you know, inspires everyone around you to jump on board, carry each other, tow each other, you know, every step of the way. And so that when you're standing on top of that mountain, you know, it's a doubly exceptional experience, because you've not only reached your goal, but you've reached your goal with all of these amazing people who got to the top of this mountain together. And I, you know, it's just something that I just even like, I got goosebumps right now, just thinking there about it, you know, just thinking about it, you know, like don't ever choose a goal you can accomplish alone. Choose one you can never accomplish alone, and build a team to get there.
That's awesome. What a great way to finish our time out. We have a saying that we hope that we're living by as much as we can, which is care for everyone, and which is followed typically by we are better together. Mm-hmm. And just those two things that we try and hang our hat on, you've just shared a way that someone can do that today, even if it's just in a small way. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that. So Robin, thank you for sharing your precious time with us today. I know you've got so much going on, so thank you for that. I appreciate your insights on everything from setback into comeback, plugging into that crazy uncle, cool uncle, crazy coach, the concept of I'm sucking and toe lines. I mean, the acronym for teamwork, pointing a finger versus extending a hand. Your why will give you your strength, lessons and failure. Resilience is a skill that leads to courage. Man, it's been an absolute packed time of just awesomeness. And I cannot thank you enough for sharing that with our RC family.
Yay. Well, I was so happy to be a part of it. And you were a great host. And that was easy.
Oh, well, I hope
Yay.
It was.
Yes. Well, with you as the host, it is. It's, you never know Sweet. What's going to happen on these things. So you're my teammate.
Amen. Amen to that. I'm grateful to get to know you, Robin. I appreciate you. Have an awesome day and good luck with those engagements you got coming up.
Woohoo. Thanks, Kurt. Thanks, TMRC. Bye.
Awesome. So to everyone listening, to all of our RC family who's had a chance to pay attention and to plug in, just know that we appreciate who you are and who you are becoming, what you do and how you do it. We appreciate you. Cheers.